heaven unto us. And the first thing that we do, Lord, is lift up Eleanor's brother, whose home is literally burning down right as we speak. Now, Lord God, that you would, number one, protect everyone that's there, especially the first responders, all the fire department, Lord, and anyone that's in the home. And Lord, we just thank you for saving lives and protecting them and helping them. And Lord, the second request we have this morning as we go to the throne of grace, that wonderful place where we can go by virtue of our relationship with Christ Jesus our Lord, is for our mission team, Lord, on the way back from Mexico from building a home for a family. You just grant them safe passage all the way back to their families tonight. And Lord, we thank you as we lift up the families there in San Bernardino, California. Lord, that the God of all comfort is embracing each and every heart. And that, Lord, that you're there with them. And Father, somehow, some way, that you're here with this nation. A nation, Lord, that is besieged now like the other areas around the world. We thank you for that. And Lord, tonight or this morning for your message, Lord, help me to teach it accurately and faithfully. And it is my prayer that every heart and every ear be open to the truth of God's word. Let this never be just another Sunday service. Lord, we're a supernatural people, and we want the here-ness and the now-ness of God. Draw near to us, O Lord, as we draw near to you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 11. We're going to begin in verse 19 in just a moment. The passages that we have, verses 19 through 30, are, I believe, some of the greatest passages in the book of Acts. We're going to talk this morning about a man, and this man is just how God has used him. The Bible calls this man that we're going to study, as we look at his life this morning, he's called a prophet, he's called a teacher, he's also called an apostle, Acts 13, 1 and following. And we know that this man that we're going to look at this morning, he is a Levite, which means he's from the priestly lineage, if you will. He's a Jew, and he resides in his country of Cyprus. His presence evidently was so commanding when he walked into perhaps a synagogue or a church house or whatever where people were meeting, that literally, like the people of Lystra there in Acts chapter 14, verse 12, when he spoke, when he came into their place, they said, "The gods have come down among us," and they called his name Zeus. Now, we know him in the Bible as the name of Joseph. Yet, no one in here would say, "Well, Bill, what Joseph are you talking about? Joseph of Arimathea? Joseph, the husband of Mary?" No, I'm talking about Joseph, a name that we don't use for this man at all, because he was given the nickname by the 12, by the apostles. How would you like to be given a nickname by the 12? Huh? I mean, you know, crummy, dummy, what would it be? You know what I'm saying? No, think about that for a moment. I mean, they gave him the nickname, they called him Barnabas. That word literally means the son of encouragement, or the one who always goes about encouraging people. What is your nickname? Did you grow up with a nickname in your life? Whew, did you see that pulpit move? That was the Holy Spirit. Whew. Now, did you have a nickname growing up? Okay, you, one person, you know? I mean, aren't nicknames strange? I mean, I knew a guy one time, we called him Goose. Why? I don't know why we called him Goose. You know, my nephew, when he was growing up, we called him Cotton. And the reason we called him, his name was Steve, but we called him Cotton because his hair was snow white. And it's not that way today. Well, it is that way today because he's old. But it wasn't that way after he outgrew the cotton or whatever you want to call it. But there's a lot of strange names. But you know, this man was given a name, Barnabas, after his spiritual gifting. This is a great chapter. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things that are going to happen in these, well, really, just verses 19 through 30. First of all, we're going to find a new center, a major center for Christianity. Antioch is going to come into being. A new church is being formed there. And then a new team is going to be put together to go out into the world in the missionary movement. So, but also the thing we want to look at this morning about this man called Barnabas is it, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, records for us and calls him a good man. That's a very profound word, isn't it? we toss that word around today. He's a good man, good woman, good person. And there's a thousand definitions in this world today for what a good person is. You know what I'm saying? But when the Holy Spirit of God, he tells us that calls a believer a good person, I want to know why. You know, there are a lot of people, they may talk good, you know what I mean? They may look good, but they may end up doing no good, amen? But Barnabas wasn't that way. So let's, before we get into the application, let's just get everything set up so we learn what everything is about. And let's look this morning, verse 19. It says, "Now those who were scattered after the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to no one but the Jews only." So verse 19 takes us back to Acts chapter 8, verse 4, with the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr of the church. Persecution broke out, and they were scattered throughout all the world, and they were preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Here they were preaching to the Jews only. So when we look at this, this Paul there, the persecution that came, you know, he was making havoc of the church. He was putting men and women into prison and so forth. In verse 20, "And some of these men, they were from Cyprus, Cyrene." Remember Simon of Cyrene? He carried the cross of Christ for the Lord. It says, "Who, when they had come to Antioch, they spoke to the Greeks," or the Hellenists, "preaching the Lord Jesus." In other words, his life, his death, his resurrection. The word preaching there, we get our English word evangelist, okay? Now, Antioch, very quickly. At that time, it was the capital of Syria, founded in 300 BC. It was an incredible city, about 300 miles north, if you will, of from Jerusalem, a very wealthy city. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. Rome, number one, Alexander, and then here, Antioch. And 800,000 people, including the suburban area. That is a major city, amen? And it was incredible. It was called Antioch the Beautiful, Antioch the Great. It was called the Queen of the East. And Main Street was 4.5 miles long, and it was paved, it says, in marble, kind of like Fort Worth, amen? And the walkways, when you walk down that 4.5 mile strip, the walkways on either side of the road, they were covered, so whether it was raining or shining, people could be out, or rain or shine, people could be out and so forth. Matter of fact, it was such an incredible city that pure water was supplied to each of their homes in abundance, and I'm not sure how. I'm just reading from history. And it was the only city in the ancient world where at night the street was all lit up by, you know, torches or candles or the oil or whatever, and it was just an incredible place. It was also a wicked place. Sexual perversion ran wild, and it was a home of a famous chariot racing track, if you will. 80,000 people could attend the auditorium where this race would take place. So Antioch is now going to become the major center of Christianity as Jerusalem is going to decline, and then in AD 70 it's going to be destroyed. Look at verse 21. "And the hand of the Lord was with them," meaning the disciples, working with them, "and a great number believed, turned to the Lord. And the news of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem. And they sent," look at this now, not Peter, not James, not John. "They sent a man called Barnabas." They sent an encourager to Antioch. You know, that's an encourager. Don't you love when people encourage you and it helps you? Don't you, you know, is there anything worse than a discourager? No. That always, no matter what you come up with, they discourage you. Well, you know, the sun's going to shine. No, it's not. You know what I mean? Just, they're just a discouraging people. And so it says here, they sent Barnabas. The Bible tells us about that spiritual gift in Romans 12:8. It says this, "He who encourages," that gift, that divine gift of encouragement, it says, "let him do so." Let him encourage others. The word there, exhortation, we get that from two prepositions in the Greek. One of them is para, which means alongside, and kaleo, which means to call. So it means literally to call to one side. An encourager is someone who sees another in need, who needs help, that needs a hand up in their life, that their head is hanging low, and they need, and they go to them, and they offer comfort, they offer encouragement, they help them. Amen? And that's what is so needed today. We get the word paraclete from those words. Who is our paraclete? The Holy Spirit. And he comes alongside us. He is our comforter. He is our strengthener. He is our helper, the divine helper of the church. He lives in us and is always among us. He leads us and guides us and loves us and helps us and opens the word of God to us. So here this Barnabas, what a great encourager he was. And look what he did in verse 23. And when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was discouraged? No. Man, he was glad. He saw the grace of God working in these new believers. He didn't go up and say, now that's not the way it's done in the mother church at Jerusalem. He said, you're going to have to make a few changes. He didn't say that at all. It says that he rejoiced. He was glad. And then look at, here it is, what he did. Encouraged them all these baby Christians, that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Boy, it's something to see the grace of God work in the lives of people, isn't it? Now, grace is invisible, but the effect of grace isn't. When a Holy Spirit touches someone's life, are they different? Yes, even their countenance are different. You know, when the Holy Spirit touches someone, let's say that they're unloving people. The moment if a person is born again, the effect of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is love. They don't know why they love people. I mean, you're born again and all of a sudden you're going, well, I don't know why I love people now. There's something wrong with me. I hated everybody before. No, the reason is Romans 5:5, because the love of God, the very love of God from heaven, you can only get it there. That kind of love you can get never on earth. It's supernatural. It comes from God. The love of God has been shed abroad or poured out into our hearts. And it tells us how? By the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. That's what he was seeing. He was going, this is incredible. He was seeing all these believers walking around loving people and caring for people, and they had been changed. They were dead men. Now they are men that have been made alive. And look what he felt. He was glad. He rejoices over that. I can imagine, you know, when I hear today, all right, well, I can remember when this church started. All those years, many, many years ago, there in the other building in Fort Worth. And, you know, and here we were, just a small group, and we were meeting and so forth in the church building, and there was a church down the street. And instead of being glad that God was planting another work, they were saying, why are you planting a work? We don't need another church in town. And I wanted to say, did God tell you that? Maybe God doesn't want your church in town. Do you understand? Yeah, and they were saying, well, look at that parking lot. You got 7 cars out there. And I said, well, anyway, about a year later, the cars went all the way down to the other church. And I said, what do you think about that? No, I didn't. But it's, you know, to be an encourager, to believe in people, to overlook their faults and their warts and all the rest of it. Amen? Oh, what a gifting that is. He said, listen, here's my encouragement to you. Continue with the Lord. Is that the greatest advice ever offered to man? Stay with the Lord. It means to cleave to the Lord. Be glued to the Lord, no matter what you're facing in this life. And he said, look, here it is. Now, we're going to get, this is our application point, but we won't do this until a little later. But for he was a what? Good man. Barnabas was a good man. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas was full of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. And let me put it this way. Because of Barnabas. Because he was there. He was encouraging so many people. And then Barnabas departed for Tarsus. Now that's the hometown of Saul. To seek, or literally to hunt down, Saul. Now why in the world would Barnabas want to hunt down Saul? Well, the reason is because he knew that God had called him, according to Acts 9:15. Remember Saul was on the road to Damascus in the bright light and so forth. He's blinded. He goes into Damascus, and there Ananias, God sends Ananias to him to lay hands upon him and so forth. And Ananias says, listen, Lord, you know, he's a mean man. He's persecuting the church. He's put locking men and women up into prison. You know, like the Lord doesn't know those things. You know what I mean? And he said in Acts 9:15, he says, no, you go. Ananias, you go to Saul, for he is a chosen vessel of mine who will take my word to the Gentiles and stand before kings. So Barnabas says, oh no, I've got to have this man. I'm in Antioch. And here comes the new church, the new team, the new center right there before our very eyes. And then it says, and when he had found him, boy, oh, I love that. Barnabas goes after him. He brought him to Antioch. And so it was for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians. The Gentiles called them Christians, okay? Now listen, Barnabas, the encourager, here he comes. He goes all the way to Tarsus. He hunts down Paul. He brings Paul back. I wonder what words he said to Paul. Do you know something? Had Barnabas not done that, Paul may have never been the great missionary he was going to be. Do you know that? See, when we use our giftings that God has given unto us, it's to help the body of Christ, amen? And here he was, he goes after him and so forth, and he brings him here. Can you imagine bringing Paul, the conversation it must have happened, from Tarsus all the way to Antioch? Paul had spent 3 years in the Arabian desert being taught personally by the resurrected Lord. Think of that for a moment. Inside of Paul, Paul didn't know it, but inside of Paul during that time were 13, or maybe if he wrote Hebrews, 14 books or 14 epistles of the New Testament. Inside of him, but he didn't know it. What a companion that must have been. And now that they're back in Antioch, it says they were first called Christians there. Now, they were called Christians. They didn't call themselves Christians. The people of Antioch, the lost, if you will, the Gentiles, they called them Christians. The word Christian is only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. It's mentioned twice in Acts and once in Peter. Now, here, they were always called, what, disciples or followers of the Lord or followers of the way, okay? But here, they're finally called Christians. You know, when we look at the church today and the things, you know, like, for example, I had someone ask me a question yesterday. Oh, I don't even want to get into that. Never mind. Here's the thing. They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only that, listen, why were they called Christians? They were called Christians because they acted like Jesus, because they loved like Jesus. They forgave like Jesus. Man, listen, that's what we are to do right now. That's our calling in this life. And in these days, prophets, that's the first mention of a Christian prophet, by the way, in Acts, came from Jerusalem to Antioch. And then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, meaning the Roman Empire, which also happened in the days of Claudius. So Luke, the historian, he's given some information here. The reign of Claudius was a 41 through 45, 46 AD. So that's when this horrible famine took place. Now, the purpose here of the prophet was to inform them, not just to inform, but it was to call them to action. And immediately, look what they did. And then the disciples, each according to his own ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea or Jerusalem too. Now, this they also did, and they sent it to the elders. Now, that's the first mention of church elders, by the way, in Acts, sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So Saul and Paul, or Barnabas, were people that could be trusted. Now, this is the first time in Acts, or that we have notice of, that a church takes up a collection for another church. And it must have just humbled the church there at Jerusalem, because the mission or the money was taken up by Gentile Christians from the mission field, and now sent to the mother church at Jerusalem. Now listen very carefully about this prophet. The gift of prophecy is a very important gift. Amen? Yes. But the prophet predicted. Number two, the people responded to what he said. And number three, did you notice that the prophet didn't get the money? Today you hear that. Do you understand? I look and I say, oh, Lord, no. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, they haven't ceased. That always troubles me when people say that they've ceased, they're done away with. No, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there anywhere in the Bible, anywhere at all, the Old Testament, okay, that prophet could have gone, even the New Testament now, had gone in chapter and verse and say, you know what, there is going to be a famine that's going to affect the entire Roman Empire and we better do something about it. Could that happen? No. That's the unknown will of God. And God was speaking to his people to prepare for what's coming. God always, he warns us, amen? Oh, how important that gift is. Matter of fact, if you look through just from 19 to 30, just the gifts that are there. For example, there's apostle, there is prophet, there's evangelist, there's elder, pastor, just in these few verses. You know, the Bible teaches us that Jesus himself, remember, he who descended also ascended into heaven, and he gave gifts unto men. And then it tells us what the gifts that Jesus gave to the church, the divine offices that the Lord gave us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, he himself, meaning Jesus, not seminaries, nothing wrong with seminary, or Bible colleges, but Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, messengers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor teachers, not a group of professionals, amen? A group of people that are filled with a divine gift that from Jesus that he selected. Boy, you know, we don't choose and select our gifts. And may I say that the gifts of the Spirit, the gift that God has given to you, it's not optional. It's to be used. Now, the purpose of all those things, all those offices, it tells us in Ephesians, it says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Anything else than those verses, if they don't take place in the church, then you're a dysfunctional body. We never want to be there. Now, let's make application, if you will, for a moment, and let's look back at verse 24. It says, for he was a good man, a good man. I don't find in Scripture anywhere the Holy Spirit calling, say, James or Peter or John or Matthew or Bartholomew, anyone else a good man, not even Paul. And yet, look at our country today. The majority, you can go on the street and talk to people and witness to them or just read it or hear them talk. The majority of the people in America today believe that the way to get to heaven is being a good person. Well, you know, let me ask you a question. Is that the way to get to heaven? No, no amount of good. No, you can't buy your way, be good enough to get into heaven. It's an impossibility. No, you have to trust in Christ, amen? No, the Bible tells us that in the book of Romans, that you know what? It said all have turned aside. All people are unprofitable in the eyes of God. Think about that, unprofitable. That word means rancid. It means the Greeks use that word for rotten fruit. Why? Because they're in Adam. He says, there is none that doeth good. None. No, not one. Boy, but yet the Holy Spirit of God, in light of all this, it says he was a good man. And if he was a good man, and he was, then we better ask ourselves, why was this man called Barnabas a good man? And I'm going to give you just a few reasons this morning. You know, number one, a good man shares. A good man shares. Did you know that in the book of Acts, Barnabas is selected or put out in front of us as an example of what it means to give, an example of self-sacrifice. We met him all the way back in Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Remember, it says, and having land, it says that Barnabas sold that land, and he took the money from the proceeds, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. And the reason that he did so was so he could support the other people in Jerusalem who had little or had nothing. So there was a great move of God at that time where everyone's need was being met. And that was our first introduction to this man. He freely, of his own volition, no, there's no pressure to do that. He walks up and says, man, I want to do that. I want to support everybody. And the reason he did it was because he loves people. It was because he is a person of encouragement. He was a giver. Wouldn't you love to have did you know that giving is a gift? One of the gifts in Romans 12. Well, can you imagine if we, a good man, let me put it this way, a good man, a good woman, a good Christian man, a good Christian woman is one that is known by their gift. Barnabas the encourager, he was a good man because he was known by his gift. I mean, what is your gifting? You know, how would you like to say, well, here comes giver. He's a giver. There's your, you know, that's what God is. You're a giver. Or, wow, here comes cheerful giver. A little bit better than giver, you know. Here comes hilarious giver. You know, ooh, come on in. Sit at the front row, close to the bag, right? No, come on. You know, and you think about that. Oh, my goodness. You know, think of, you know, our generous giver. See, a good man is a generous man. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. Man, today to be known by your gifting. Every time someone said Barnabas, his name was Joseph, but they went by his nickname. Every time they called Barnabas, it means you're the son of encouragement. People can't help, they get around you and they're just immediately encouraged because that is a divine gift that lives in your heart. You can't help it. You just want to reach out to other people and encourage them. Today in the church, what would your name be? What would your nickname be right now? Think about it. I pray it wouldn't be gossiper, backbiter. Well, here comes the sower of discord. Come on. Don't be religious. Man, listen, that's very important. Well, you know, you start thinking of all the gifts. Listen, let me just read a few of the gifts, if you don't mind. You know, it's in the Bible here someplace in Romans. Here we go. Yeah, let me just read a few of this. Watch this. About the giftings that you have right now in you, if you're a believer. Paul says here, he says in Romans, he's talking, he says, listen, I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Three times Paul uses the word think. And he says this, think soberly, for God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Not, this is not saving faith. This is not so I'm going to be saved. No, you're already saved. And he's saying, I've given you enough faith right now to operate the gift that I have placed in your life. Listen to what he says. He goes on and he says, for each one is given a measure of faith. For we have many members in a body, but all the members do not have the same function. As we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of another. Here it comes. Having then gifts, you have them. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, the unmerited favor of God. That's how gifts work. They were given to us by grace. Here it is. Let us use them. What a shame, like I told the first service, what a shame to have a divine, supernatural gift living in you and never discover it and never know what God has called you to do. Think about that for a moment. That's a tragedy. I told them in the first service, I said, 2016, boy, you ought to set it right now. Say, I am going to discover my gift. See, we exist to serve the body. We're one body. We just read that. Amen? What if all of a sudden my left lung spoke to my right lung and said, hey, righty, how are you doing? Okay, lefty. Now he said, that's a nickname, get it? Oh. Why did I come here this morning, Lord? I could have been out on the patio reading the Fort Worth Startlegram. You understand? No. Listen. I want my lung to work. I don't want it to say, let's shut down for 15, 20 minutes. Amen? Everything in my body exists to support the body. Every member in my body, everything that I have, all of it, my ligaments, my breathing, my muscles, and my heart, and lungs, and liver, everything that I have, is they're all working in unity right now to support me. Amen? Okay, well, that's what the body of Christ needs to do. We exist. We exist to serve the body. And if we don't know our gifting, we're in trouble. I mean, we are in trouble because all of a sudden the body is not functioning the way God wants it to function. If only 20% of the church knows what their spiritual gifting is, then 80% is asleep. And you're going, I mean, what kind of body is that? If 80% of my body wasn't working right now, I would be down there. Let me ask this aside. Do you understand where I would be? It'd be over with. Yes. Well, never mind. I'm preaching to the American church. I forgot. And the American church, next year, they're going to start filling up because of fear, because of the things that are coming, because they're going to need a place where they can have a today word from God. Because God is our only hope, and God is our nation's only hope. And when they come into a church, this is the church, you're the church, they need to meet a people the one body where everyone is functioning in what God's called them to function. And when that happens, everything changes. Boy, that's so important. Did I get off track there? I guess I did. But it's a true word. Okay, a good man shares, but a good man also dares. A good man dares to believe in others when others will not believe in them. Boy, that is so, so vital today. You know, I'll tell you somebody that he was always, all of his ministry, I observed it. And that's Pastor Chuck Smith. He's home with the Lord now. He would take people that had been wounded or they made messed up in their life. And he'd pull them in and restore them. You understand? Boy, I'll tell you, he was a good man dares to believe in those when others don't believe in him at all. Let me give you the scripture, Acts 9:26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, now this was after he was born again, he tried to join the disciples. Can you imagine? He was listen, I'm one of you guys. I want to join with you. And they were all afraid of him, and they did not believe that he was a disciple. They did not believe that he was a follower of Jesus Christ. They didn't believe he was a Christian. Do you think that hurt Paul? Can you imagine, you know, me looking out here and saying, I don't believe you're saved. I don't believe God's in your life. No, now listen to what happened. But here comes the encourager. But Barnabas took Paul, and brought him to the apostles. He said, Saul, you're going to go with me. I can hear Saul. You don't understand. I have already tried to join them. They don't want me. They don't even believe I'm saved. They don't believe I've seen Jesus. They don't believe in me at all. And Barnabas goes, Paul, shut up. Come on, I want you to come with me. And he took him and he brought Saul to the apostles. And listen to what Barnabas did. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, how Saul had done that, and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in his name. Listen, to dare to believe in a man who was the greatest enemy of the church. Believing in a man who literally put men and women in prison and made people recant the name of Christ or die. And he says, no, I believe in you, Saul. I know I can see that God has worked in your life. A good man shares and a good man dares to believe in others. And number three, a good man loves others when they fail. That is so important. Did you know that Christians sometimes fall? They get in trouble. They fail. They get off the narrow road. They get on the broad road and they find all kind of destruction there. No, a good man loves when others fail. The greatest thing that a person can have is someone who believes in them when they have failed in this life. When they have maybe sinned horribly. You know, there are times in people's lives and they go, they're so down, Christians are so beat down because they got in trouble or whatever it was. And they don't, in their heart, they're going, I don't believe God will ever use me again. I don't believe that God will ever, ever forgive me. And here comes a Barnabas. You understand? And they encourage them back and so forth, getting them back into the Lord. You know, in Acts chapter 12, 25 and following, and over in Acts chapter 13, during the first missionary journey, Barnabas and Saul, as they've been selected by the Holy Spirit to go out into the Gentile world and so forth, they take with him, or Barnabas takes with him, remember his cousin or nephew, John Mark. Mark, the writer of the gospel, okay? And so there they are. They're on their first missionary trip. I don't know what happened at Pamphylia. I don't know what happened. It's not recorded. But man, Mark just, I don't know if he was afraid. I don't know if he saw all these demons being cast out. I don't know what happened. He said, I'm going home. Yeah, remember, Mark was just a young kid, okay, a young man. And so he goes back home. So whenever the second missionary event's going to happen, Barnabas, he wants to take Mark with him. But I don't know what happened there with Paul. But whatever did happen, it was a sharp, he was mad. Matter of fact, let me just read it to you. And that way we can get a better picture than me stumbling up here, okay? It says that on the second missionary journey, it says, then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, he said, let's go back now and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they're doing. So he said, let's start all over again. And Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark, but Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to do the work. So Mark backed out. He went back home. And then the contention became so sharp that they parted, meaning Barnabas and Saul, they departed from one another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas and departed. Now, man, that you're talking about a division that occurred between these two great men of God. And he said, no, you're not going to take Mark with us. I don't want him with us at all. Isn't it easy to look at others? I mean, they've made a mistake or they have a fault and say, well, they're no good anymore. That's horrible, isn't it? That's horrible. Now, you know, or they see that there's a problem, but they don't want to fix the fault. You know, we need to deal as gently with the faults of others as we would deal with our own. Amen? Amen? That's right. We need to love people and so forth. So what did Barnabas do? Barnabas, the encourager, he goes and he gets Mark. And he says, okay, we're going to go to Cyprus. Come on, buddy. You're just going to go with me? Don't worry about what that old mean little apostle Paul is saying. Just blow him off. Don't even worry about it at all. He says, you know, I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you through this failure. What would have happened had Mark might have quit the ministry? Had it not been for that one gifting, that the Barnabas, the gift that was in him, Paul might have never left Tarsus and come down to Antioch. Had it not been for that one gifting in Paul, in Barnabas, the gift of encouragement. And so here, you know, Barnabas took Mark, and you know what happened years later? Remember what Paul did years later? He's in the Mamertine prison. He's at the end of his life. He tells Timothy, oh, Timothy, he says, bring my coat, you know, my cloak, and especially the parchments. He says in 2 Timothy 2:11, he says, for only Luke is with me. I'm all alone here. And he says, listen, here it comes. Get Mark. Get Mark and bring him with you, for Mark is useful to me for our ministry. Man, that would have never happened had it not been for Barnabas. You know, the last thing we knew about Mark was Paul didn't trust him, but God did, amen, and restored him. Barnabas came and got him. Listen, we might not have had the gospel of Mark had it not been for Barnabas. Now, the fourth reason that he was a good man was because he was full of a person there in verse 24 again. It says this, he was a good man because he was what? Full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of a person. The only person that can make a person good. That doesn't mean that people that are not born again don't have godly qualities, godly characteristics. But only the Holy Spirit can make a man or a woman a good man or woman. Amen? And he was full of that. The Bible tells, full of him. It says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. Do you know right now you have goodness in you because you have the Holy Spirit? Amen? And that goodness, it doesn't mean, oh, I'm just a goody-goody. It means active goodness that you are doing to other people. That's what it's all about. That means that Barnabas was a good man because he followed the example that was left by Jesus Christ in Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And Barnabas said, that's what I'm doing. Everywhere I go, I'm doing good. Why? Because the good one lives in me, and the good one lives in you. Amen? Oh, how important that is. It says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine where you could say to yourself that my calendar is God's calendar? Every day when you wake up, Lord, what is it? I'm full of the Spirit of God. I'm controlled totally by the Lord. Your will is now my will. Whatever you want, I'm dominated. I'm saturated. I'm full. I'm overflowing with a person, with the Holy Spirit of God. I'm being led by the Spirit. I am walking in the Spirit. Listen, that'll never happen, like you hear me say so often, unless we practice awareness. The Holy Spirit is here. He is here right now. He's right now beside us. He also lives in us. Amen? And if we don't know, you know, people who, for example, backbite in the church, or they gossip or whatever, those are the things, those are people who really, I believe, I say this tenderly, that they don't really have an ongoing relationship with the Holy Spirit of God. Because if they had one, they would be practicing awareness. They would know that the Holy Spirit is not only in them, but beside them. And if when we have that type of evil speaking or backbiting or whatever, what does that do to the Holy Spirit? It grieves the Holy Spirit. That word means to vex or to make sad. Well, you can't make sad a force or a language or an essence. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's real. And when a believer, the temple of the living God, who's been washed from their sins, starts doing those things and vile, corrupt communication comes out of their mouth, the Holy Spirit is grieved. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't withdraw from us. It's just you're not aware of his presence. Listen, the only way to be full of the Holy Spirit is to know that he is a person. He's with you at all times. He sees everything you do. He hears everything you say. Amen? But Barnabas, boy, he was full. He was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was also full of faith. Full of faith. I live for the Lord. Whatever the Lord wants. He says, turn right, I turn right. I believe the word of God. Barnabas would be the type of person that I believe all 66 books. I even believe the calendar, you know what I mean? Or the maps. I believe everything. I believe everything that is there. Now, he realized that being that good man, that's what was needed in his life, is faith. You know, the Bible tells us that the object of our faith is Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Barnabas had something today that is so needed. Not only did he please God, because you can't please God without faith, Hebrews 11, 6, amen? It is impossible. It's not difficult. It is impossible to please God without faith. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, that God exists, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, not seek a need, but seek God himself. That's Barnabas. That's what a good man does. See, you're a good man or good woman because you have the one who makes you good living in you. Listen, I tell you, when I look back and I see all the things, all the things that are happening today, I would love to have a nickname, you know, like, well, never mind what I'd like to have. I'm not going to tell you. But, you know, nicknames, you know, I mean, I when I think that the apostles gave him that name, this guy must have been incredible, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, always going about doing good. He'd see a need. He'd come right alongside that individual, and he'd lift him up and say, listen, you're not going down, man. You're going up in your life. Yeah, but I'm a believer, but I failed. Okay, well, you know what? God's not going to fail you. Always giving you that encouraging word. Always giving you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, something that'll keep your path lit up during the day and during the night. Amen? That's what it's all about. You know, nicknames are so weird. You remember, I don't know if you like this old movie, but I thought it was one of the greatest movies ever made. It's Forrest Gump. Remember that? You remember when Forrest Gump was out there and he was in the military, in the army, and he was fighting in Vietnam, and they were in a ditch together, and he was starting to name all the people where they were from, and he goes over and he says, that's Dallas. You know, that was his name. We called him Dallas, and he's from Phoenix. You know, do you remember that part? He goes and looks at another guy, and he says, this is Cleveland. He's from Detroit. Then he goes over and he says, this is Tex. We don't know where he's from. Nicknames. It's because of a trait that you carry. It's a trait. I don't want to be known as an angry man. Do you? Or angry woman? We got to watch him. He's just an angry person. And he says, you know, some people talk to me and say, Bill, you know, when we look at you, you know, you walk through the church, you just got this look. And I say, yeah, I can't help it. God made me that way. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He said, but you look so serious. I said, I am. But that doesn't mean I don't have the joy of the Lord in my heart. If you come and talk to me, the first thing I'm going to do is tease with you. You know what I mean? Oh, never mind. No. Listen, I wish that we could, you know, we'd go and you like there in Romans 12 again, where I was reading from, where it says there, he says, let us use them, these gifts that God has given us. It listen to me carefully. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace of God that's given us, it says, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Or he who teaches in teaching, or he who exhorts, there in exhortation, that's a gift of exhortation and so forth. He who gives with much liberality. He who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. There comes Mr. Mercy. Sometimes we need someone that's very merciful. Amen? The Bible says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Sometimes we need to go in. I remember one day, I'll never forget it, Mike Hawkins. We'd gone through 22 years ago, whenever it was, a bad situation. And back then, I was the secretary, the janitor, and I made all the bulletins. We didn't have anybody. You know, and I was in my office. I always, when I showed up in my office, I just wear shorts. You know what I mean? And I was so self-conscious about turning the AC on over there, I would just put a big fan on me. You know what I mean? So I dressed very comfortably. And so we had an issue at the church, and I'll never forget it. I was on the couch in my office when it used to be right back here. And I was actually praying. And here comes Mike. He says, you know what? God told me to come visit you because you need to be encouraged about that issue that has occurred. Can I tell you that changed everything in my life that day? Why? Because a person used their gifting to lift another person up. Amen? Boy, you have all these things that are operating in your life. Like I said earlier, if only 20% of the body is operating in their giftings, then 80% of us are not working. We're not doing what God has called us to do. Oh, how that needs to be in 2016 if the Lord tarries, how we need to be operating in that. That's so desperate. We need that. We need each other, the giftings that God has placed in us. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, it says that a good man, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered, established, ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Listen, Christian, you are either allowing God to establish your steps, or you ordering your own steps. Amen? Boy, why would you want to do that? Lord, I just want to go wherever you want me to go. I want to do whatever you want me to do. I want to be used by you. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:14, it says, the backslider in his heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. That's what I want. The only place that we can ever truly be satisfied is from our Father, from above. Every gift of God is good. Amen. Comes down, is so peaceable from the Father of lights. Comes down into our hearts. Listen. Discover your gift. The person next to you needs it right now. You people come into the church, you don't know they're hurt. I'm not saying everyone hurts when they come to church, but you never know. But it's that gifting in you, and you just have that quickening in your heart, and you immediately go over and say, can I pray for you? I walked up to a gentleman this morning. He'd been on my heart all week long. I'd been praying for him all week long. I said, Lord, what's wrong with it? His face kept coming up to me, kept coming up to me. I went up to him this morning in the main lobby, and I said, I want you to know that God's going to help you, that he is your helper, and that you're going to get through that. Amen? See, we need to be that kind of vessel to where, just do it. Go, step out. That's how you grow. See, the gifting that is in you right now, you have it. And if you're not using it, the only way to make it grow is to water it like you would seed. Just water it. And that means you step out in faith. You have already been given the faith to do it. The Bible said in Romans, you already have it. And you step out, and the next thing you know, it may not be exactly where God wants you, but you have to take that first step in order to get to the next step where God wants you to be. And the more you start watering it, the more you keep doing it, and all of a sudden you find out, Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and here I am. How did I ever get here? I got you here, Bill. I got you here, John. I got you here, Paul. I got you here because the steps were ordered by me, and you followed me. Listen, the Word of God is the greatest thing a Christian has. I hear so many times that people, they say to me, Bill, you know, what book can I read? And I have a vast library, as you well know, and those books have been my mentors in my life. I'd be a lie if I didn't say that. But the greatest mentor, the greatest counselor I have, you have, is God's Word. That if you want to know how to live, if you want to know what, you know, what to do in this life, how to please God, how to find your way. You know what? You have the Word of God. Don't neglect it. I mean, you need to not meditate on it. Like in Joshua, meditate on it. You know, don't just read through it. You know, I think I told the first service, you know, I was talking to them. I said, listen, when I was a young Christian, you know, some of the greatest time I really had as a young Christian in my life is when I did not have anything. I mean, I didn't have a TV. I had nothing. I didn't listen to the radio. All I had was my Bible. And you know what? Sometimes at night, I would read, because I was all by myself in a little bitty apartment at college, and I would sit there and I would read sometimes through the book of Acts 3 times in one evening. Just 3 times. And the Word of God would become so real and so alive. I would go to sleep dreaming about what I had just read over and over, about all the healings and the miracles and how God uses people and sends people and all of that. Listen, God's Word is real. We need to detox from this society. We need to detox. I mean, my gosh, how many more communication apparatuses do we need? You know? Hello? I mean, come on. I mean, you know, you've got your cell phone, you've got your iPad, you've got cable, whatever all the other junk is, I don't know. Internet. You know, listen, what happens if you just shut it all down and you go off grid and you just say, you know what? I just want to spend some time in the Word of God. I want to spend some time discovering my gift. I want to spend some time in deep prayer with the Lord. I want all the voices to stop from the outside. I don't want to hear anything. I don't even want my phone to ring. Amen? I just want to hear God. I just want to hear His voice. And when you hear the voice of the Lord, that's when the adventure begins. Amen? Whenever the information on this page, the Logos of God, whenever this right here, the written word, the Logos, whenever it becomes Rhema, in your heart, where information becomes revelation in your heart, that's when all of a sudden you start exploding all over the place. That's what God wants. It's time for the church to explode. It's time for us to start walking in our giftings. It's time for us to really love one another. It's time for us to really, those who are hurting and in trouble, that they need to, someone to go alongside them and say, hey, I'm here with you, man. But I failed. But God won't fail you. We get back to what we're doing God's way. That's what it's all about. The Bible tells us in Romans 5:7, and I know it's time to go home now, but listen. It says in Romans 5:7, Paul writes, he says, you know what? He says, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Scarcely. I mean, it's hard to find someone to die for a righteous man. He said, but yet perhaps for a good man, someone might dare to die. And then he goes on in verse 8 and he says, but God. Anytime you find a but God in your Bible, something good is following it. He says, but God what? Demonstrates. That word means proves. God proves His own love for us, that Christ what? Died. When did He die? When died for us, when we say, oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, you know, be the Lord. No, no, no. While we were yet sinners. You want to know who a good man is? He's the good shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. He is our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the good Samaritan. Amen. He's the one that comes and bandages up the wounds and pours in the wine and puts you on the donkey and takes you to the inn and gives the money to say, take care of him until I come back. Whatever he needs, I'll pay you. It's the Lord who is our helper. Amen? That's what it's all about. Listen, you can be, there are Barnabases right here. There are people that have the gift of administration. You're right here. People have gift of mercy, gift of cheerfulness, gift of giving, and all the rest of it. The people who have the gifts of healings operating in their lives. Man, listen, don't neglect that. 2016, should the Lord tarry. If you, I'm going to say the same thing I said to the early service. Shame, I say this tenderly, I love you, you know that. But shame on you. If you do not step out in 2016 and say, Lord, this is the year that I want to discover my gift, if you haven't already. And then, Lord, I want to walk in that gifting because it's supernatural. It comes from heaven. Lord, and I want to use it as you see fit. I want to be a part of the body and functioning the right way. Amen? Listen, if you don't, your days are not getting longer. Huh? Every day your life gets what? Shorter. Do you believe that? Every day. Every day. You don't have any time to waste. Don't waste it. Say, no, I'm going to step out. You know, listen, don't let the world trick you. Don't let the world trick you. Oh, you have to be busy and busy and busy. Oh, no, no, no. We need to be busy about our Father's business. We need to be the ambassadors of Christ. We need to walk in the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. We need to plead with people and say, Cole, listen, come to Christ. You know, I have the ministry of reconciliation. Let me put your hand in the hand of Jesus and he'll take you to God the Father and you'll be saved. Amen? We don't have time. We don't have time. Enjoy your life. Enjoy whatever God has given unto you. You have a big boat? Enjoy your big boat. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Take me with you. But the thing is joy, you know, he's given us richly, freely, all things richly to enjoy. Timothy says, then enjoy them. Don't let them possess you, though. Be about the Lord's business. You have a divine, supernatural gift from God. Use it to help other people. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name that there's no one like you. And Lord, I just feel the burden right now in my heart to lift up our nation again for protection. The enemy is here. We knew it was going to happen, Lord. Somehow, let those with the gift of prophecy arise. Not for their own glory, but for the glory of Jesus Christ. Give us warning. Tell us when to turn to the left and turn to the right. Let the angels of God be upon the four corners of this campus. And every time we gather to meet, let it be perfect safety. When we get on our roads or we're shopping for Christmas or we're in the big department stores and malls or wherever we try, let it be safe, oh God. Let safety come to this nation. And let the enemy, their plans, their plotting be destroyed. Let those, Lord, who have dug a deep pit thinking we're going to fall in it, let them fall in it. Give this nation wisdom again. Lord, give our leaders wisdom again. Give them the plan. Give them the action to know what to do and when to do it and how to do it. We ask that, Lord. We ask that you would use us if you should so tarry next year, that this body would move into 2016 with their gifting. Being used by the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, bless your people, keep your people, prosper them in every area of their life, oh Lord. We love you, we praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, please. You know, I told the first service, I said, you know, when we start closing out, And we're getting ready to sing our song. I said, whenever the little children over in the kids' church area, you know, they have the TVs on right now. They know that Bill is finally through. And they're going to hear that song, God is so good. You know what they start doing? I'm gonna start asking people to film that over there so you can see it. They'll be lifting it. Okay, it's mom and dad are getting ready to come. He's finally through. Praise the Lord. And then there was one little one last week. He was singing God is so good, but he just kept going, God. But God. I mean, they're getting it, amen? That's what it's all about. They're getting it. They're getting it that God is so good. We're going to close out with a song. If you need prayer, you know there'll be people down here to pray with you. Keep praying for our mission team, that safe journey home. I love you in Jesus' name. Let's sing to the Lord.
God is so good.
We love you.
God is so good.
Love you, Lord.
I love him so.
We praise you,
Lord. I love him so. He's so good to me.
The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you in Jesus' name. Let's thank the Lord as we depart this morning. God bless you.